You know, this whole thing about sanctity of the toilet. At home, when you've got kids around, etc., I will go to the loo and I will play games or I will do some of my work. I swear, I take my laptop sometimes and we have... No, don't look at me like that, Jeremy. Don't pretend you don't go to the loo. I seriously lock the door, right, and I will have my 15-inch computer on the basket and I will get work done. Because try getting work done with kids around the house and being asked to do this, that, and everything else. Barbara, why you look shocked?
No, I'm not shocked.
What do you do in the loo?
Well, you know, my dogs have all passed away, but I had four sort of big Labradors. And I tell you now, you cannot go to the toilet without being accompanied by a pack of dogs. And they sit and watch you.
No.
It's actually hilarious. It's
invasion of privacy.
I know. I mean, who would go to the... Who would...
I mean, there's, you know, a bathroom can really... At the office, the bathroom can be a sanctity away from some of your silly colleagues, for example. It could be. It is a place where people have their own space, the door's locked, and yeah. Anyway, we're not talking about toilet humor and all that sort of stuff today. I'm just asking the question about unisex toilets. Bongun Kosi Madikizela would like a unisex toilet, please. I wonder if he's got a unisex toilet in his building. Because he is the minister of what now? Transport. He's the minister of transport in the Western Cape. I wonder what those ministry offices of transport look like, and I wonder what the search criteria is when you go into that particular building. So, Bongi, if you're listening, give us a call. We're going to find out more about the trending stories.
Follow Cape Talk on Twitter at Cape Talk.
Oh, look, it's Barbara Friedman. Good morning.
Morning, Kino. And?
I never thought we'd say something nice about Mitt Romney.
No, but we're going to start. We'll get there. We're going to start with Zuma because we love a Zuma tweet. So, of course, last night, everybody has probably seen it, and we have posted it on capetalk.co.za, but Zuma sent out a tweet. I mean, I know people are saying, you know, it's not a blue tick account, but, I mean, it has very private stuff on it, pictures and things on it, so I think there's an assumption that it is Zuma's proper Twitter account. And there is a photograph of him sitting on a plastic chair next to a quad bike, balancing a rifle on it, as if he's about to take a shot. No comment, no comments. He doesn't write anything about it. And it's obviously gone viral. I mean, people are trying to say, you know, days after the dodgy doctor's note was submitted to say he was just too ill to make an appearance in court on corruption charges, he has a photograph of himself, dare I say it, looking fighting fit.
Yeah, we don't know when the photograph was taken.
We don't, but he's still trying to make a point, surely.
The guy is a tsotsi. I'm sorry. I just...
What is he trying to say?
You think he's a tsotsi, Joe? Eh? Yeah.
Don't make Joe comment.
Joe's scared. He still has to go home later. but no, seriously, this guy... I mean, yes, he's smart when it comes to politics and playing the game, but I mean, he just strikes me as being a gangster. That's how I feel about President Jacob Zuma. He reminds me of a mob boss. Why is everybody looking so nervous? Anyway, what else is there? Jeremy, I was saying Zuma reminds me of a mob boss.
I mean, that picture is kind of quite hardcore, you know.
Yeah.
Even though he looks not quite like he would be in someone's army right now.
No, but I mean, know. You know, apparently, I mean, we had quotes again, Joe. You know, we've got the... We've got audio of him in the hospital, ne? Do we? Hey?
Hey.
Yeah, there he is. Yeah, no, he's very ill.
Hey!
Oh, hold on. It's my... what is it? Ah, it's somewhere here, doctor. On the left.
Hey!
Oh, it's sore. Hey. Yeah, very sick as always. Yes.
Okay, moving on. So last night, which is obviously daytime in America, Romney... Actually, he almost took over the top trend above the hashtag impeachment hashtags.
Yeah.
Because he made history. Republican Mitt Romney, which, you know,
yes,
no comment on his history, but he has now made history by being the first U.S. senator ever to vote to remove a president from his own party, which was a surprising twist at the end of the Donald Trump impeachment trial, which we knew he wouldn't get impeached. Yeah. But there's a symbolic issue of one of your own voting against you. Let's listen to a bit of Mitt Romney last night.
The president delayed funds for an American ally at war with Russian invaders. The president's purpose was personal and political. Accordingly, the president is guilty of an appalling abuse of public trust. What he did was not perfect. No, it was a flagrant assault on our electoral rights, our national security, and our fundamental values. Corrupting an election to keep oneself in office is perhaps the most abusive and destructive violation of one's oath of office that I can imagine. In the last several weeks, I've received numerous calls and texts. Many demanded in their words that I stand with the team. I can assure you that that thought has been very much on my mind. You see, I support a great deal of what the president has done. I voted with him 80% of the time. But my promise before God to apply impartial justice required that I put my personal feelings and political biases aside. Were I to ignore the evidence that has been presented and disregard what I believe my oath and the Constitution demands of me for the sake of a partisan end, it would, I fear, expose my character to history's rebuke and the censure of my own conscience. I'm aware that there are people in my party and in my state who will strenuously disapprove of my decision, and in some quarters I will be vehemently denounced. I'm sure to hear abuse from the president and his supporters. Does anyone seriously believe that I would consent to these consequences other than from an inescapable conviction that my oath before God demanded it of me?
Wow. Wow. Well done. Listen, as you said, we all have our faults, but that was powerful.
Yeah. And I mean, he is. I mean, Donald Trump Jr., of course, was out there on Twitter immediately denouncing
Who's
him.
Who's Donald Trump Jr. again?
Is he the one? No, I'm not sure.
Donald Trump, is he the
he
one?
He might be related to Donald Trump Sr.
I think he's Donald Trump's got one of those kids who looks like he's part of the Adams family. I think it's probably him. I must Google it.
No, I think it's the other one.
Is it? Oh, okay.
And he, you know, he said Romney's forever bitter that he was never POTUS and, you know, he couldn't beat the Democrats and now he's joining them. And
oh, I found him.
He kept selling little things online.
Mr. Grease Lightning.
Saw little things that were like from the White House.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I thought, I mean, that is a historical moment. Like Mitt Romney or not, it will forever go down as the one person from his own party who did vote against him. Even though we knew there was no chance of any kind of impeachment. So that was the twist in the tale yesterday. And then finally, this morning, the news broke that veteran Hollywood actor Kirk Douglas died at the age of 103. And we found a bit of audio that I think actually is quite cool.
You had a reputation as a real horse's behind in this town. A very difficult guy. For years. Why? Where did that all come from, Kirk?
Shows you what a good actor I am, because I really am the sweetest.
Come on. Everybody says that in the old days you were an exceedingly... Even your own kids said that you were very difficult.
They didn't say I was a horse's ass, did they?
No, they did not.
Yeah, I thought it was quite funny. That was actually a 60 Minutes interview he did. And when he did that, he was 75.
Wow.
And now he died at 103.
That is an innings and three quarters, man.
I mean,
that's
you may
wonderful.
Remember he had quite a bad stroke in 1996. Mm. And he kind of came back from that, not completely, but he appeared in a movie after that. You could, you know, where he spoke with a little bit of a slur. And,
yeah.
But he never gave up. And I just thought, you know, looking at the obituaries, you know, he is an interesting guy. I mean, he was born Isur Danilovich Dembski, a penniless Jewish immigrant who came to America. And in 1916, his father had fled Russia to escape conscription into the Tsar's army. And it talks about how he sold snacks to local mill workers to earn money and how he clawed his way into acting school and really has, you know, he was known as one of those people that played these kind of quite hardcore roles.
Yep.
But, you know, he says, you know, he fought anti-Semitism, he fought a lot of discrimination and, you know, he made it. And obviously we know he's one of his sons is Michael Douglas who obviously has also had an incredibly successful career. And I just think, sure, as you say, 103, what an innings.
Certainly, yes. Barbara, thanks for those stories.